The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. It is another edition of our Around the Clock with 24/7 Sports series. And man, so excited because this is a familiar voice to Cover 3 listeners. Back on the show once again, it is Rusty Mansell from Dogs247. You can follow him on Twitter at Mansell247. Rusty, busy, busy time of year. We've got ingoing, outgoing, camps all over the place. Before I start the timer on this Around the Clock series, how are you doing here at this point in the season?
Doing good, man. Still Cover 3, still my go-to podcast. I know Barton's probably in a different world right now doing camps, but you know, in Atlanta, man, it's crazy every weekend, every day. I'm going to a Friday. There's a 7-on-7, 64 teams in Georgia. We're going to camp tomorrow, almost 1,100 kids there. So, I mean, it's happening and popping in Georgia for sure.
All right, I am going to set 15 minutes on the clock. Also, before I do so, if you are a Georgia fan and for some reason not following Rusty or subscribe to Dogs 247, go and do that right now, because the little nuggets that you get all along the way keep you in touch with what's happening with the top players in the country. Georgia has more talent than anybody else in the country. They're always in the mix for the biggest players, and those races are so intense. And so a VIP subscription, if you're a Georgia fan and not dialed in there, you're doing it wrong. Today, Rusty, though, we'll be talking about a little bit of the past and most of the present. 15 minutes on the clock and go. I think that most of college football lost track of the Georgia Bulldogs last year. You know, you lose two out of three and everybody else checks out. They drop out of the top 10 from the national championship picture. What did you see from the Bulldogs coming down the stretch those last couple games? Obviously, JT Daniels is a big part of it, but what did you see from that team, that coaching staff, and that program at the end of the season when everybody else kind of took their attention elsewhere?
You know, I got settled down. There was so much talk about the Alabama game, the offseason out, Georgia at Alabama, how big a game that was. Can Georgia hold off Florida? They jump all over Florida with 14-0, wind up losing that game. Florida's got a ton of momentum. And you see a team that teams that went in two different directions the last quarter of the season. Florida beat Georgia head to head. I mean, it was they were the better team, no question about it. But the way the thing ended, I thought Georgia got a little bit, you were correct there, kind of pushed to the side a little bit, but they found something. They settled. They got comfortable. They got into a setting where JT Daniels was the guy. They built the offense around him. He got more comfortable. You see Cincinnati, who was a hell of a football team. I don't think people realized how good Cincinnati was. I know Georgia staff was extremely worried about that game. They had to go all the way down to the wire to beat them in a New Year's Day Six Bowl. So the way Georgia finished off the season with JT Daniels, I think coming into this year, all the momentum now kind of back with Georgia. I read all the preseason mags, listen to Cover 3. The Bulldogs get a lot of pub on here on Cover 3. So right now, Georgia is deserving of that. But come August, it's everybody's on an even slate.
So the Todd Monk and Matt Luke marriage, do you think that that's working out? And would it be wrong to guess that maybe some of the reasons that the offense took a while to go, you know, you didn't have the full offseason going into it with the quarterbacks, you know, changeover all over the place?
I mean, look, the whole fiasco at quarterback at Georgia last year was a bad situation. They couldn't get it dialed in right. They had two or three different guys. You go with the mailman. You know, I said this yesterday, Georgia was leading Alabama at halftime with Stetson Bennett. I mean, I don't think people realize that, but, you know, they got boat raced that second half. But I think they got settled in. Matt Luke, what a job he's done having to replace Sam Pittman, the beloved Sam Pittman for the Georgia fan base. And I think Matt Luke's done a really good job. They got some guys back, but Todd Monken not having a spring, not having to be able to install some of those things they do with him, it takes a while. And one thing I've heard from people within that staff and players on that staff is that offense is pretty complex. It is a very detailed pro language offense. It takes a while, but once they got the hang of it, I think you saw some of the fruits of the labor as the season wore on.
Is the offensive line ready to be a strength once again? Because you lose a couple of NFL players, and it seems like with coming out of spring, there's a lot of some question marks on where the pieces are going to fit together. But the talent, I mean, like if we look at the 24/7 total talent composites, it's all there. Yeah. What's your sense?
They need experience. Mm-hmm. And I look at that Clemson game, and you start talking about Miles Murphy, ooh, Xavier Thomas, Brian Breesy, and those guys. Inside, I think Georgia's fine there. And I think Tate Ratledge is a budding superstar that's pushing Justin Schaefer, a senior that came back. Jamari Salyer, Warren Erickson, they got some guys inside. The question's going to be left tackle. Is it going to be Amarius Mims, five-star? Is it going to be Broderick Jones, five-star? Is it going to be Xavier Trust, a young man out of Rhode Island? So the left tackle position that was vacated by Andrew Thomas, a top-five pick from the Giants 2 years ago, now they got to get that position settled, because I'm telling you right now, they're going to open up with an extremely talented team, and I think Miles Murphy is one of the most underrated players in college football. I know the Clemson defense gets a lot of pub. Miles Murphy, I saw him 2 weeks ago at a spring game in Georgia. Oh, my goodness, he looked ready to roll.
For the pass catchers part of this conversation, Eric Gilbert, transferring into the program, the talent's right there. I mean, he could step in and totally change the way that defenses have to defend this Georgia offense. George Pickens goes down with the ACL injury, and so many other wide receivers, just nicks and knacks, like kind of banged up along the way through the spring. What's the sense of that wide receiver room in terms of, like, what's the competition like between those guys? What's the conversation like? Because there are balls in this offense that are there to be had if someone wants to step up and be an alpha.
Well, here's one thing that's not getting enough mention. Arian Smith, who, oh, by the way, just goes and starts running track 4 weeks ago. He runs a 10-10-100. And, oh, by the way, just qualified for the NCAA finals this week in Oregon. He ran a 10-10-100. This is a football player running track, not vice versa. You look at Darnell Washington, 6'7". You look at Marcus Rosemy-Jackson, who's coming back from injury in that Florida game. He's good to go. Can they get Dominique Blaylock back? Jermaine Burton, extremely talented football player. Demetrius Robertson, seems like Demetrius Robertson played on the 1980 National Championship team. This guy has been there forever, but he can fly as well. So you take all those, and they were missing that guy on the edge. When you lose George Pickens, the guy that can just go get it. I was looking at some comparisons. At the Nike Open in high school, George Pickens ran 4.71 with like a 34-inch vertical jump. You look at Eric Gilbert, he ran a 4.72 with like a 35-inch vertical jump and a 6.5 frame. So for Georgia fans, best case scenario, if you're not going to have George Pickens, you better get Eric Gilbert. When he was available, Georgia went out and got him. So look, he's been in Georgia, he's been in Athens for a week, start school today. Or tomorrow, I think. So when you look at that situation, you put Eric Gilbert on the outside in this offense, and Georgia's plug and play right now.
So the Eric Gilbert news came hand in hand with Darian Kendrick, all news that your reporting was all on top of, and hope we gave you the proper credits all along the way.
That was that was literally the two fastest things. And I knew I was in touch with Eric's mom the whole time, and I was not going to break that story until Eric Gilbert pulled into that parking lot. Now, I was talking to other sources with Darian Kendrick in South Carolina. He was supposed to leave that morning, didn't leave until the afternoon. I'm thinking, okay, I've waited this long. When he pulls in town or he gets 100% to go, and then Eric Gilbert, and it was like 13 minutes apart. That was a definitely wild afternoon, but certainly was glad to be on top of both of those stories.
And the answer that Kendrick brings to the one biggest question about the defensive side of the ball is, I mean, if you're a Georgia fan, I don't know who else from the transfer portal or anybody else you could have asked for more than the former five-star from Clemson.
No, there wasn't another option. Not for what Georgia needed. Need somebody who's, number one, he started 29 games at Clemson. Number two, he's played in massive games. National championship, he's played Alabama, he's played Ohio State, he's played Notre Dame, he's played them all, Texas A&M. You needed a guy that the moment was not going to be too big because there was a void there on experience. Now, they got some talent, but there was definitely a big-time void at corner left when Tyson Campbell and Eric Stokes both went to the NFL. So Darian Kendrick was a huge piece. I know Eric Gilbert's a big deal, but when all said and done, if Georgia has that ultimate year, I want to go back in January and come all the way back to this moment and see how much and how valuable Darian Kendrick was to this program, because I think that was the piece that Kirby Smart could not miss on, and that was a corner of his level and experience, because there wasn't anyone like that, in my opinion, in the portal.
And Kirby, with all, I mean, what, former DB coach, right? I mean,
he recruited Darian Kendrick, and Will Muschamp. And here's another thing I kind of found out later on. Will Muschamp recruited him hard when he was in South Carolina. There was a prior relationship with those guys. He's from Rock Point, South Carolina. He came over here in high school, played wide receiver in high school, played wide receiver in the All-American Bowl, tore Buford up over here in high school, who was a national powerhouse. And that was my first experience with him. Clemson flips him over the defensive side. So when you look at Darian Kendrick, when all said and done, I think that's going to be possibly the biggest piece of the puzzle that Kirby Smart added this offseason.
Is it too lazy to assume that Georgia's going to be a lead up front? Because I can look at the standard that has been set, and I can look at what Jordan Davis, who, I don't know, could play on Sundays. You know, Jalen Carter had a tremendous freshman season. Julian Rochester, like, then we've got, like,
Trayvon Walker.
Oh, like Nolan Smith, you know, maybe could be having a breakout season. Is it lazy for me to think that Georgia's going to be fine up front?
No, they're there. I mean, when you look at bodies, athleticism, when you look at the front seven, Quay Walker at linebacker, N'Kobe Dean at linebacker, those guys in behind them, Georgia has got question marks. And I don't care who you are, you got question marks in that secondary. You're trying to plug in plates. But when you walk up and you look at that front four and those linebackers, those are dudes. I mean, flat out dudes. Adam Anderson's a guy that I was told in some combine testing, he ran a 4.4 for Georgia. You know, he's getting all the, you know, kind of the comparison, Barkevious Mingo, the old LSU first round for that pick. I mean, here's Adam. I watched him in high school. He ran the 100. He ran the 4x1 relay. And this is a guy that can absolutely fly off the edge. So you look at Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, Trayvon Walker, Jalen Carter, Devontae White came back. That was the one that surprised me. Devontae White, third or fourth round grade, he comes back. So up front for Georgia, you got to be excited. That secondary is gonna call you some gray hairs and a few more drinks in the pregame tailgates.
All right, so expectations. I think it's fascinating because in the last 10 years, the Bulldogs are 1-4 in SEC championship games, which means on one hand, you've made half of the SEC championship games in that time, and in 2012 and 2018, we're talking about razor-thin margins and maybe being able to win. But it's also 1-4 in SEC championship games. How do you set the expectations for this Georgia team?
Here's the pro Georgia side of that. Kirby Smart going into year six, played for the national championship. He's won a Sugar Bowl. He's won a Rose Bowl. He's won an SEC championship. He's won a New Year's Day six. He's played in those SEC championship games. He's got to win in December. He's got to win in Mercedes-Benz. That's the next step for Georgia. I think inside the Georgia family, you know, the outside media perception, they got to win a national championship. Georgia fans know you got to win in Mercedes-Benz, and then you have the chance to go on in whatever in January. So I think for Georgia, Kirby Smart, it's Alabama. You've got to get that. You got to pull that off of your shoulder. You've got to – literally, that is the elephant in the room. You've got to beat – you've got to beat Alabama. And so with Kirby Smart, I think he has created the expectations of a national championship. They haven't won it. It's well documented in 1980. But as a Georgia fan, you can look yourself in the mirror and go, you know what? We've got a chance. We've got to win in December. I think that's the next big step. The Jimmys and Joes are there. They're plug and place pieces. I tell you what, I've covered these guys, and Chip, when you see this team walk in compared to where Georgia was in 2014, 2015, which I had some guys, but from one man to number 85 on the roster, there's not a lot of difference in Georgia and any other team. They just got to win in that building in December.
That is such a great look at the inside perspective, because it's the, if we're gonna say national championship, you know, like I'm gonna pick Georgia to win the SEC. I'll go ahead and tell you right now. But the next piece doesn't even seem to matter to, like, the true Georgia fans, the ones that have been in it through all of these years of being one of the iconic programs of college football, huh?
Yeah, they've got to win in December. It's Alabama, And I wouldn't necessarily say it's like infatuation with Alabama. You've got to win the SEC, because now you realize if you win that game, and they almost won the national championship by winning the SEC. And oh, by the way, they got beat by another team who didn't make it. Right. So you've just got to win that game. And then you would have the confidence to say, you know what, we've conquered that. We'll go play anybody. Going to be some really good teams. I've been digging. I know we're not talking about them. I've been digging a little more. I'm really starting to bite that Oklahoma like maybe. I looked at some key pieces on them. So you look down the line, but for Georgia, they go no further. If they can handle their business in the East, all Georgia fans that I know are completely focused. We got to win in December in that building, no matter who's on the other sideline.
A few minutes left here. Do you think that – is there a spot on the schedule – that you have circled beyond Jacksonville against the Gators and Clemson. Okay, so let's take those two, which could determine whether you could play for the playoffs or not, but the Clemson game does not determine the SEC championship. Are there any situational spots, sandwich spots, road trips, anything that gives you any pause or concern?
I mean, you look at Georgia's schedule, and I hear Georgia fans go, man, our home schedule's so boring. Tennessee's kind of down, South Carolina, new coaching change, Auburn, a whole new staff. I mean, you just really, Georgia should handle business. Now, Clemson and Florida are the two games where they could line up, and both of them have Jimmys and Joes. I think for Georgia, the big perception in this Clemson game is it's fascinating, that game. So if Georgia beats them, what's the national media start saying about Clemson? Wait a minute, they've lost three big games in a row now, mm-hmm. outside the ACC. If they beat Georgia, it's like, well, here we are beating SEC teams again. So it's going to be a lot of twisting and turning off of that game. Because if Clemson loses that, you can bet the rest of everybody else is going to remind them, y'all have lost again in another big game, and that's three in a row. So you look at Clemson and that Georgia game, it's going to be a perception. It's not going to knock either team out, I don't think. But it's certainly, if Georgia loses that, they've got to run the table to get into it, to national championship. Maybe if they undefeat it and they lose a close one, say, to Bama, they might be able to get in as an at-large. So I think Georgia should be a clear favorite in every game, that Clemson game. I think they're a little bit of an underdog right now, if I'm correct. But other than that, they should control their own destiny, handle business, and we'll see who's on that west sideline, which I anticipate will be Alabama.
But it doesn't look like the same Alabama as before.
You're going to get them. Well, everybody's falling for that. yeah. Here's the thing, and I'm probably going to hurt some Georgia feelings. Man, I spent a week with Bryce Young, and I stood in the huddle with Bryce Young for 3 days at practice. And I remember telling Barton at the hotel, I was like, Barton, this dude is freaky. And he is small. He is small, but I'm telling you right now, he's got a rocket arm. He's absorbed the game so quick, that offense. And I'm not calling other kids out, but I've seen kids struggle out there. And I've seen some of those things translate into they struggle other places. Bryce Young came, Jake Fromm was one, Tua was one. They picked it up just like that. And those kids were ready to play immediately. Bryce Young, if you're not an Alabama fan, it's probably not good news, because that guy is the real deal. And I expect him to have a very big season in Tuscaloosa.
That is our time. He is Rusty Mansell. You can follow him on Twitter at Mansell247. Dogs247 is where you can go. Again, if you are a Georgia fan, the pipeline of talent, the trips, the visits, what's going on in all these camps, all of it's there, all the bites, everything that you need, it's all there. Dogs247, go and sign up for a VIP subscription if you are a Georgia fan. Rusty, as always, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, my man.
Streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.